Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan Prof here. J.D. Vance, he's the vice president, don't you know. I'm not sure what he does. Is that maybe just for sport more than anything else? But he went on with Clinton Foundation Donor Zero, that would be George Stephanopoulos, on This Week, to get peppered about the Letitia James indictment for mortgage and bank fraud. And, of course, Stephanopoulos tried to do the old whataboutism game, and it went a little something like this.
Let me also ask you, as we saw the indictment this week of Letitia James on questions of mortgage fraud. Also, Lisa Cook has been accused by the Trump administration of committing mortgage fraud as well. The journalism outlet ProPublica has actually published a story, and I want to show it up on the screen right now, that says that several members of the Trump administration have faced similar questions. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez Duremer entered into two primary residence mortgages in quick succession. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has primary residence mortgages in New Jersey and Washington, D.C. Lee Zeldin, the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, has one primary residence mortgage in Long Island and another in Washington, D.C. How do you respond to critics who say that the Trump administration is engaging in a double standard here?
Well, I'd say two things, George. First of all, ProPublica is basically a left-wing blog. I'm not shocked that you found a left-wing blog that can attack members of the Trump administration. But second, and this is the most important, is what does the law say? Letitia James was indicted in a left-leaning part of our country, a part that voted very heavily against Donald J. Trump, for the crime of mortgage fraud. When I read the indictment, when I read the facts in the case, I see a person who committed mortgage fraud. Now, of course, the jury is going to decide whether she ultimately committed a crime. We don't try her. The administration doesn't try her. A judge tries the case, and a jury decides whether she's ultimately guilty. That is what is going to determine whether she goes to prison. I think we let the facts drive this. And, George, that's what we've tried to do in the administration's Department of Justice. We've asked ourselves, has the person violated the law? And if that person has violated the law, then we decide to prosecute them. That's what the Department of Justice should do. It didn't do that under Joe Biden's administration. It does under Donald Trump's.
On the facts, do you dispute the facts that ProPublica reported?
Do I dispute a far-left blog that I haven't read that you brought up in this interview? I have no idea, George. I have no idea what they actually said. But I certainly question the source. I question their credibility. And most importantly, I'm not worried about what they said about members of our administration. I ask the question, what does the law say? And if the law says that you engage in mortgage fraud and a local prosecutor, a local grand jury, and finally a jury convicts you of that crime, then that is how the justice system is meant to work in the United States of America.
Yeah, the old prosecutorial discretion. He's right to call ProPublica a left-wing blog, too. It's not some sort of, you know, independent-minded news outlet that, of course, Stephanopoulos tried to present it as. But Letitia James put a target on her back, just like Tim Comey did and others. Said, come and get me. Come and get me. No one is above the law. A lot of moralizing, a lot of self-righteousness. And so you put a target on your back and you grab the attention of prosecutors to pore over your conduct, and they find something in which you violated the law. Well, you're the one who chose to make a spectacle of yourself and challenge anybody and everybody to look at you. Okay, well, that happened. And this is what they found. And for those who are a little queasy about lawfare and this, you know, sort of being perceived as score settling and where this might lead, the precedent being set that, you know, that retribution will be visited from term to term on those who were of the opposition party. Well, what choice does Trump have? Do federal prosecutors have? Because here's what Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, had to say about the matter over the weekend.
So there's two things to keep in mind here. First of all, there's accountability for the corruption and the chaos that Donald Trump has unleashed on the American people from the very beginning of his presidency on January 20th that should be tied directly to the Supreme Court and the six right-wing justices who basically gave Donald Trump, without justification, blanket immunity. And he's been out of control ever since. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, of course, is the fact that there are so many different corrupt sycophants within the Trump administration, including but not limited to within the Department of Justice. Now, these people don't have immunity. And the reality is the statute of limitations is 5 years, and there will be accountability with the next administration, if not before, when Democrats take back control of the House of Representatives.
So let me just translate that for you. We'll impeach who we can impeach, and we'll prosecute who we can prosecute. So the lawfare will continue regardless of what Trump or federal prosecutors appointed by Trump do around the country. So what is Trump administration to do? Unilaterally disarm? More on the topic. We're pleased to be joined by Professor William Jacobson. He is a clinical professor of law and director of the Securities Law Clinic at Cornell Law School, founder of LegalInsurrection.com, and president of the Legal Insurrection Foundation. Professor Jacobson, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
So your reaction to the Letitia James indictment and, of course, the larger lawfare context?
There are multiple levels of irony there. Because Letitia James ran for office. It's on video. Ran for office as to be Attorney General of the state of New York to get hold of a massive, massive Attorney General bureaucracy. And she said she was doing it to get Donald Trump. She even ran an ad, which we've posted many times, where she says the days of Donald Trump are coming to an end. Soon after she was elected, she also announced that she would use her office, this is on video, not only to get Donald Trump, but to get his family. So Letitia James, of all people, has weaponized the prosecutorial function for political purposes to get a political opponent. She will ultimately be judged on whether she committed mortgage fraud or not. Certainly the facts in the indictment seem to indicate that, but an indictment doesn't give the other side of the story, doesn't give the defense. But she is the last person in the world who should be complaining about politicization of the prosecutorial function, because she is exhibit A as to what Democrats did. She investigated Trump, and she could not find a crime to prosecute against him. So she brought the civil case. The so-called mortgage fraud case, banking fraud case against Donald Trump. Something, while it's not identical to what she charged him with, has to do with obtaining more favorable loans based on false valuations, allegedly false valuations. And so she sought to cripple and came very close to it. Until an appeals court threw out the monetary verdict. She sought to cripple the entire Trump organization, family members, everybody, on a flimsy theory that because Trump valued properties above what the assessed value for tax purposes was, that that was somehow fraud, even though there were sophisticated banks on the other side who, of course, do their own valuation. So Letitia James politicized her prosecutorial office. She did it to get a specific person. She came up with a novel theory to prosecute him for getting loans on a more favorable basis. She is the last person who should be complaining.
Well, the other thing, too, is, I mean, in terms of the party, the larger party complaining, because this is political. There's nobody that, even in retrospect, said, you know what, Letitia James or Alvin Bragg took it too far. You've got people, politicians, including our very own governor here in Illinois, still trotting out the tired, 34-time convicted felon line of caricature in the direction of Donald Trump. So they're completely unapologetic about what was visited upon Trump and his family and his family business. And even if you didn't get Hakeem Jeffries saying, basically, as soon as you let us back into power, as soon as we have the levers of power again, we're going to do it all over again, which is what he basically said. Well, what are Republicans, not just Trump and not just this administration, but what are Republicans to do? I don't know. I don't want to go down this path, but I don't know how you prevent going down this path unless you inflict enough punishment on the other side that there is agreement to return to the rule of law, as opposed to using the law to punish your political opponents, in a given election cycle.
In a better world, nobody would be doing this, but we don't live in a better world. We live in a world where the federal and state prosecutorial bureaucracies were completely weaponized against Donald Trump. You mentioned the criminal case in New York because Letitia James couldn't find a crime that she could prosecute. So the local DA, Alvin Bragg, supported by George Soros's foundations, brought a novel legal theory to convert misdemeanor bookkeeping offenses, alleged misdemeanor bookkeeping offenses, into a felony so that they could bring the case against Donald Trump using legal theories that had never been used in that way before. It resulted in a conviction in a New York City court, surprise, surprise, but it never got ruled on appeal because as soon as he became elected president, the judge stayed everything and said, because he can't be prosecuted as president now. So we never got a final legal determination there, but it was a novel theory never used against anybody else to turn misdemeanor bookkeeping, alleged misdemeanor bookkeeping offenses into a felony. So of all the people, the Democrats have been doing this. And of course, they did it at the federal level with Trump. The lawsuit, the criminal prosecution related to the records found at Mar-a-Lago, was ultimately thrown out by a district judge, and the D.C. case never got to trial. So the feds went after him, and let's not, of course, forget Fannie Willis, the disgraced Fannie Willis, the local prosecutor in Georgia, who jumped on the bandwagon to use her office to get Trump. So the Democrats created this situation. I wish they hadn't done it, and I wish they could stand here and say, Republicans shouldn't do that because that's not right. Well, I'm sorry. It's too late for the Democrats to say that. And the main perpetrator, the worst perpetrator of all, Letitia James, who abused her office for political purposes, is now going to be held to account. And she's not going to be held to account for political reasons. She's being held to account because she put herself in the spotlight. And others, it wasn't even the Trump administration, others have been pounding the table for a couple of years about Letitia James and this mortgage fraud. And so it finally came to the attention of prosecutors, and they prosecuted it. And so I'm sorry, I just don't feel bad. I wish we were in a different place. And maybe now Democrats will get it through their heads not to do this, although they're promising to do it again anyway.
I wanted to get your legal opinion on another matter. Of course, the deployment of the military in American cities, is being characterized as an invasion, and Trump is declaring war on cities like Chicago and its residents, attacking its residents. I mean, the incendiary rhetoric that accompanies every political position the left takes. But in point of fact, as per usual, Trump is fighting it out in the courts. And in Chicago, there was a initial celebration over a temporary stay in terms of deployment, but that has been overturned by the appellate court in terms of the president has the right to control the Illinois National Guard, has the right to use the National Guard in protection of federal installations and federal law enforcement officers. If this, because of what's going on in Memphis, in Chicago, in Portland, If this gets to the Supreme Court, what ultimately would be established as the presidential powers here, do you think?
I think that Trump's use of the National Guard, first of all, to protect federal enforcement of the immigration law will be upheld. I think that's very clear. He has the power to protect ICE agents and other federal immigration agents in the course of carrying out their duties. And what's happening in Chicago, and it's happening in Oregon, and it's happening in Los Angeles, and it's happening in many places, is local officials are acting in concert with protesters and rioters who are seeking to prevent the enforcement of the immigration laws. That's an easy win for Trump, I believe, in the Supreme Court. What's going to be closer, but I think he will ultimately prevail, is if he can use the National Guard for broader purposes than merely protecting ICE agents from attack. And I think he's going to win there also. I think ultimately the Supreme Court's going to say the decision as to whether the conditions, the rebellion, insurrection, invasion, et cetera, is ultimately up to the president, not up to a federal court. And so I think ultimately he's going to prevail on these things. The appeals courts that have ruled on it, the Ninth Circuit, I believe it was, upheld his use of federalizing the California National Guard. And then it's again before the Ninth Circuit and the Seventh Circuit with regard to Illinois. And they issued administrative stays, just holding orders, which said he can nationalize them, but he can't deploy them. So the two courts of appeal on a temporary basis says until we decide this, he can nationalize them, but he can't deploy them. That's, I guess, a theoretical distinction. What good is nationalizing them if you can't deploy them? But that's
yeah, right.
The courts of appeal said to put it, basically to maintain the status quo until they decide. But I think Trump's going to prevail on these things. And the mayors have no one to blame but themselves because they're not using the local police to protect federal enforcement agents. And the federal government's going to step in and do it anyway. And so I think this is ultimately a winner on the legal merits for Trump.
Yeah. I mean, when you lose Mark Benioff in San Francisco, you should recognize you're in trouble. Professor William Jacobson is the clinical professor of law and director of the Securities Law Clinic at Cornell Law School, founder of LegalInsurrection.com and president of the Legal Insurrection Foundation. Professor Jacobson, thank you always. Appreciate it.
Great. Take care.
And Professor Jacobson joined us on the Turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook or read about it in the paper. Hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.